Welcome into the Live Rewind podcast, where players and coaches join DP in the garage to talk about a memorable game from their career. They sit down to watch the highlights from Channel 1450 and talk about the game. In this episode, Pleasant Plains graduate Tristan Tavis talks about the Cardinals 3A state semifinal game versus Anna Jonesboro.
I'm Tristan Tavis from Northern Illinois University, and this is the semifinal Live Rewind game.
Perfect. So, before we hit the play button, what do you kind of remember from that day? A semifinal is always going to be cold, so
yeah.
What do you kind of remember?
So, the thing that Coach Walworth told us our advantage was it was like, so that morning it was snowing and on our field and everything. Like, they had it tarped up, it was all wet and everything. And where Anna Jonesboro was coming from, I think it was like 50 that day from there, a couple hours away. I'm not really all the way sure, but yeah. But they were saying how it was a lot warmer and how one of our advantages was, like, we've been practicing the cold and all this. They came up and I think it was kind of like a shock for them. They're like, why is it so cold?
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I remember walking into the game, because walking out to the field, I remember just big snowflakes coming down. You're like, this is new.
Yeah.
So
That's what you play for, is to play that late in the season.
Yeah.
What do you remember from this magical run? Because, I mean, you guys, I think you were the 16 seed, not expecting
definitely.
To do anything.
Yeah. No, it was all fun. We had some great guys on the team. I remember, I think the best part about the whole run was being able to, it was Friday nights, we kind of had what we called like our lock-in kind of thing, I guess you would say. So Brody kind of had us all together, so we weren't out doing stuff that we weren't supposed to be doing, kind of trying to stay out of trouble. We kind of went to the school, we'd all hang out together, eat a dinner, kind of like play Xbox, PlayStation, whatever you had there. And I think that was the most memorable part, just being able to hang out with all your friends, kind of get closer. And I think that's kind of what pushed us farther and farther, because we were just always there for a team. So,
what was the attitude like of the team, knowing you're one win away from state, but at the same time, I mean, you guys weren't really expected to win more than maybe one or two games in the playoffs?
I know. Attitude, we were just, the attitude that we had was after our first playoff win, I think we got that mentality. We were like, hey, nobody can beat us.
Yeah.
Like, we
knock off a one seed.
Yeah, we were like, hey, no, there's nobody out here that's gonna play us. We're gonna just kind of storm through everybody. I think it helped that we had guys like Brody, and then some other coaches like Burschneider. They were kind of taking their time watching through film and then just kind of explaining this to us, because that was kind of that week we kind of watched. Or those weeks leading up to those games, we kind of got more big into watching some of the film.
Yeah.
And so I think on top of us just being like, hey, nobody's going to beat us, we also knew what they were going to do to us. So
with that being said, what was the scouting report for Anna Jonesboro? What did you guys have to do defensively?
I don't know if I can remember, but...
and whatever it was, it obviously worked, because I think
obviously,
they only scored 2 points.
Yeah. I mean, they scored 2 points on us having just, what was it? It was a safety, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to that, but I just wanted to know, like, if you remember any of that scouting report.
Scouting report? I don't know.
Was there anything you remember,
I know,
like, that you saw on film that was like, okay, maybe we can take advantage of this?
Definitely, we wanted to, for linebackers on defensive side of the ball, I know we wanted to play sound in our gaps. So I think it was, I think we were just reading guard tackle was our main key.
Yeah.
So we wanted to keep the run game, and we had people behind us that were going to, we had our team behind us that was just going to make sure we stopped that pass game.
Right.
So if we could, I think if we, our big thing was if we could stop the run game, we had the ability to stop the pass game no matter what.
We'll get to it, but as I remember, they weren't really able to pass the ball at all.
Yeah, especially because it was just wet.
Yeah.
So that was also the big emphasis, because, like, hey, it's going to be a run heavy week. Like, it's going to be wet out there. So, like, if you stop the run, they're going to have to rely on passing, which obviously just it was a lot harder, us and them, because I think we had a big running game that week. But you could always see that it was just bad for the passing game out there.
All right, let's get started. Go ahead.
are we doing out in Pleasant Plains in the middle of November? Well, for the first time ever, the Cardinals are playing in a state semifinal football game. Plains has been the Cinderella story of the 3A South bracket, starting with knocking off Westland, then coming home to beat Newton, and finally beating Carlinville on their home field last week. Standing in their way of a state championship appearance is Anna Jonesboro. The Wildcats coming north still undefeated this season after beating Hillsboro, Pena, and Vandalia in their portion of the bracket. The Wildcats won the toss and elected to defer, which turned out to be a huge mistake. Nick Sampson set the tone of the opening drive. As you see here, Sampson picked up a couple big nasties on this opening drive, running dudes over as he picked up 71 yards to start this game and finished it off with a short run helped by the linemen. Plains takes a 7-0 lead with 7:47 to go in the opening frame.
Gosh, that guy was a tank. I love Nick. Yeah. Oh, he was a great friend of mine, a great linebacker of mine, and he was just... Once he got going, nobody was stopping him. He was just a bowling ball.
So you guys get the ball, go down and score. I mean, mm-hmm. It seems like it's obvious, but how important is that in a game like this when, I mean, there's a lot of nerves. Mm-hmm. You score first, you're like, okay, this is just a football game.
Momentum. Momentum is huge. And I've kind of learned that through college and looking back. We had scoring first on a lot of these playoff runs. We built that momentum that kind of carried us throughout the game.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big key for us. And just kind of, we had a bunch of fans coming out, so getting the fans into it, you hear the crowd roaring no matter what kind of was going out throughout the game, and those guys were always just picking you up.
Well, that's what I kind of was going to ask was, I mean, Pleasant Plains is a baseball town, it's a basketball town.
Uh-huh.
So to have this opportunity in November, I mean, the whole town was there.
Yeah.
You had to just kind of feel that energy.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, because we had the whole town there. We had alumni coming back, guys kind of standing on the sidelines, standing on the end of the field. Just for the whole Plains community to come together like that, it was just amazing to see the support that we had.
And throughout the playoffs, you guys had to travel pretty far. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just the comfortability and, like you said, of getting to go to the school the night mm-hmm. before, had to just help a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. And shout out to all the parents that wanted to dedicate their time to come all the way out for those Saturday games. I know we had a couple hours away games, maybe like three and a half. I don't know what it was, but we always had a crowd out there. Yeah. It was always good. They were always pushing us hard. So
you score first. Does anything change, or do you learn anything on that first drive?
I think we just learned what I kind of said before, like. We score on the first drive, hey, we're just going to dominate this game. Like, I don't know if there's any other way to put it, but we scored, and that was, including the momentum, we were just like, we got that mindset, like, hey, these guys are beatable. They're 12-0, doesn't matter. So.
Cool, okay, go ahead.
Hillsboro started their first drive, and they were aided by an offsides penalty on a fourth down to march down the field, chewing up the clock. Quarterback Bryce Osmond picks up the first down here. The Wildcats will get all the way down to the 1 yard line, and then on the last play of the first quarter, the Plains defense stops the Wildcats on third and goal.
I know that one was pretty big. To take our momentum and just kind of like they were driving on us a little bit. And if they would have scored, I think that would have killed our momentum a little bit. And for us to kind of just put up that wall, kind of just bury down, dig down, and just find a way. I think that also was just a big deal in us winning.
How much did playing in the Sagamo, playing against teams like Athens,
mm-hmm.
help you guys prepare for this exact moment?
Oh, it helped a lot. That year, I know we were the opposite of what team should have been, just as we started out with the injuries and we ended with the team. So just being able to get... everybody, including like the twos, the second string guys, everybody was able to get the reps and then come to these big games. And when your ones needed a break, the twos came in with the experience from the Maroas, the Athens, the Williamsvilles, and we kind of all just put that together, and that kind of built us up as a stronger team, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Started the second quarter with a fourth and goal from the half-yard line. And again, Plains defense comes up with a huge stop. The Cardinals defense gives their offense the ball back with a 7-0 lead, but they had 99 yards to go. on third and long. Plains hands it off in the end zone, and Kai Kolberg can't get out of the end zone. Ada Jonesboro picks up the safety to make it 7-2.
That play, I knew. We had that safety, and I was like, sideline kind of got down on themselves. I knew the fans kind of got quiet, and the sideline kind of got dead a little bit, and it was just kind of like, we need something to kind of push us through that, because I know even starting in a bad spot and maybe not the right play call at the time to run it either way, but I mean, it was raining, so you can not run it, but kind of hard to get out of that situation. And just I think the next clip, we have something in store.
10:24 left in the first half. Instead of putting their head down about the safety, the Cardinals stole the momentum right back. On the kickoff, Aria Hart fumbles it, and Tristan Tavis comes sliding in to recover it to give Pleasant Plains a very short field to work with. And it didn't take...
Yeah, I love that. When I ran off to the sideline after that play, I know Coach Walworth was in my ear a little bit. He's like, you could have caused us a big penalty. What are you doing? And all that stuff. I'm like, Coach, we got to get the fans back into it. Like, and that, I think that really we got that momentum back. We were down, we were kicking off, and we thought we were going to go on defense, and just to put us back on offense to strike again, I think that's really what brought us to all rally together. It was pretty cool.
What did you see on that play as you're coming down the field?
I'm coming down the field. We all knew it was wet. We knew balls could be on the ground. We knew all that kind of scenario stuff. So we were running down the field. I see the guy bobble it, and I'm kind of, you're kind of in a tunnel at that point. You don't know who's coming. You don't know what's going on. So I saw ball, see ball, get ball. I got onto it, and I kind of got up, and I just wanted to go over to the crowd and just show them what I had. It was kind of an in the moment kind of thing. I wasn't really thinking about it, but I know Coach Walworth kind of chewed me out for it. But I mean, in the end of it, it was pretty cool.
You, as a guy who obviously had to be in there, a linebacker on defense, were you always in on special teams, or was this special?
So I think I was on every special teams, I think it was. I think there was,
and just cause you like to hit maybe teams,
I think so. I think the one that they gave me a break on was, I think it was field goal. I don't think I was in there on field goal. Unless we were having some, I could be wrong, unless we were having some like trick play going on. But my break time was on field goal, and I just like to, I mean, when you're an older guy, you want to go in there and you trust your other guys, but you feel it inside yourself to be able to play all the time and just be like, I'm going to be the guy that needs to make the plays. So why we have the guys like Lucas, Jake Hermes, all those studs of guys that we had on the team, you kind of find it in yourself at some points during those games. You're like, I need to make the play, or I'm sure that's what they're feeling too. But you kind of just trust yourself a little more.
It was cold, so maybe you don't want to come off the side.
Yeah, but no, definitely, time, definitely.
Like, how in shape were you at this point in the season? I mean, because this is week 13. I mean,
probably, honestly, this was, junior. Beginning of season, I was a little heavier because I wanted to see how it was playing heavier. But I leaned out so fast. I wasn't as heavy as at the end of the season, A, because we were making a run, and B, because I was, we didn't really have the depth to really kind of just take guys out and replace them for other guys. But I was probably in the best shape of my high school career then, just because of running down, running around, just all that fun stuff.
We'll get to more about this conversation later, but what did you weigh then compared to what do you weigh now?
The stat sheet probably lies, but I was I was probably around 210. Mm-hmm. Now I'm about 245. So there's a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, for sure.
Long. They stick with Samson, and with 8:33 to play in the half, Samson plows into the end zone again. Pleasant Plains goes up 14-2. Their defense would force Anna Jonesboro to punt on the next possession, and that didn't go well either. The fumble allows Griffin Tebrig to come in and blow up the punter. Plains offense takes over with another short field. On the first play of that offensive drive, it was Nick Sampson again. He goes untouched for a 27-yard touchdown. Plains goes up 21-2 on Anna Jonesboro heading into the half. Sampson had three scores and just over 150 yards in that first half.
Yeah, it was, we were just, I know we came off the sidelines a couple times. I think we had a couple timeouts, or maybe they did. And Walworth was just telling us, we just got to keep our foot on the gas, because if we ever kind of just stopped playing the way we were, they could have easily came back in the game. They were a tough team, and I think we just kind of, just the way we were playing at the time, I think we just kind of out-physicaled them.
Yeah, as I recall, I mean, especially throughout the playoffs, I mean, your guys' big nasty numbers just went through.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was it. Like, you guys were just hitting everybody mm-hmm. really, really hard.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we were the nasty kind of football players, mm-hmm. but we were the hard-nosed kind of, we put our head down and just kind of work.
Yeah.
We just wanted to, we loved to hit people. We had to hit people. We didn't have the size of some guys, but we had the toughness of no other team out there, I think.
So the momentum at halftime is all in your favor. 21-2. I mean, mm-hmm. you got to feel comfortable. Like you said, I mean, Brody's going to keep you guys focused.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can start to smell it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. The locker room, you're in there. Everybody's got that kind of, we're all coming together. Everybody's like cheering everything. Brody kind of brought that seriousness back into us when he came into the locker room. Like, hey, while we're up, we're not up by a lot. Like, while we are up a couple touchdowns, they can always come back. Like, we scored all those touchdowns. Why can't they score all those touchdowns? It's kind of like if we stop now, they will come back, and you guys could lose everything you've worked so hard for.
Anything change strategy-wise? I mean, do you talk about doing something different?
I don't think so. I know Coach Betts, our linebacker coach, was just like, we were stopping him pretty good at most points. He just told us to keep playing sound, just keep our gaps in alignment, and I think he said we should just come out on top.
Plains' defense would get a stop to start the third quarter, and the offense did exactly what they did in the first half. Give the ball to Nick Sampson and let the lineman open up the holes and let Sampson eat. He picks up the huge gain here. Plains just pounding away.
Yeah, he's gosh, the guy is just, he was a tank in high school. I know I've talked to him recently, and he's doing well, but there's nobody out there that was stopping the guy in high school.
He was so low to the ground, and his legs were so big. That
yeah, I know.
Just to tackle you.
He was the. I don't know how. Yeah, I have no idea. He was just so low body heavy. I think had really good balance as well. Just if you hit him low, you have to have a buddy come. You have to have another guy come. You just have to wrap him up and tackle him, but I don't think people really found that out.
Yeah.
So it was really fun to watch him just eat.
Who was the toughest for you to tackle in high school?
For me to tackle in high school, I don't know. I don't want to sound like that guy that says nobody was the toughest to tackle, because there's definitely those guys out there. But I don't know if anybody really stands out. I remember we had our Gatorade scrimmages at the beginning of the season every year, and I was on the other side of Samson.
Yeah.
And we made a couple good hits throughout the game.
Yeah.
And I remember that. But going into the games, I kind of was just I didn't have put faces on players.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to be scared of a guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't want to, like, his reputation, I didn't want to have that come over me and when I saw him. But talking about it, I think maybe one comes to mind probably would be Nick Laird. Mm-hmm. He was a tough physical guy.
Yeah.
There's
good balance,
good balance, low to the ground, all the good stuff that you want to want to see out of a guy like that.
Yeah.
And there's a couple plays out there where he's shedding me off and all that stuff. But I think out of the top of the list, I think it would probably be Laird. Other than that, I'm not really sure.
Having that mentality of it's just a person to hit, you don't know, you don't know that about him. I mean, that's something that a lot of people don't think about, but how big is that when, I mean, just the one sliver of thinking about something different can completely affect a play.
Yeah.
And not only could you get hurt or something could happen, but I mean, just having that mindset is something that maybe people don't think about, but is really important.
Yeah, definitely. Because if you're not, if you're thinking about a guy too much and you start letting up and you're like, oh, I don't want to, this guy's going to hurt me if I hit him, you're just going to, you probably are going to get more hurt, kind of get more of an injury, kind of going soft on him than if you were just fully going at him, kind of like a mindless guy, is what I've kind of, what I kind of realized throughout the high school experience for me.
Oh, that's interesting. Go ahead.
Get all the way down to the 6-yard line and hand it off to Lucas Western. He scores Plains' fourth touchdown on the ground of the game. The Cardinals go up 28-2 with 9:17 left in the third quarter. On their next drive, A.J. had to try and throw the ball, down 26 points at this point, but that didn't go too well. Nick Sampson hits the quarterback, and Tristan Tavis dives and gets the interception. Plains' defense just...
Yeah, you can see the struggle that people had trying to throw that ball.
It was
covered in mud. It was covered in just rain, just water. There's nothing that could have probably dried that ball off at the time.
All that being said, you still were able to catch it. So
I mean, it was a basket catch. Yeah. It was like, please don't slip out of my arms. But it was flying there. I mean, if you couldn't catch that, I don't know if you should really be playing football. But as you saw, Nick Sampson hit the guy, and it kind of spun the ball. You saw the duck flying in the air.
Yeah.
And it was a basket catch. It wasn't really hands. It was mostly in the body. Please don't miss the ball.
Did you think about celebrating as hard as you did on the punt?
I don't know if I thought about it. I maybe could have, but I think the words of Coach Walworth were in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Just don't. You're in too good of a position now to start causing stupid penalties. So
that's funny. Yeah.
In all aspects of this one, and they would do it again to end the third quarter. Anna Jonesboro with the ball deep in their own territory. Osmond is forced to throw again, and this time it's Nick Sunley with the interception, and he returns it for the 25-yard pick six. Plains just pouring it on, and this is a state semifinal. Cardinals take a 35-2 lead with 3 left in the third quarter, and already celebrating as we hit the fourth quarter. The Pleasant Plains faithful that stayed through the cold would be happy to see the start of the final frame. Plains hands it off to Lucas Western, and he goes 52 yards for the touchdown that put the icing on the cake. As you see the coaches celebrate, you know, for the first time in school history, the Pleasant Plains Cardinals are headed to the state championship.
Yeah.
Plains beats Anna Jonesboro 41-2 in the 3A semifinal and will play Elmhurst IC Catholic in a state championship on Friday at 4 p.m. at Husky Stadium on Northern Illinois' campus in DeKalb.
Yeah. That was just a great moment. There's a picture out there of me and Kevin Ingram. Me and Kevin are hugging, and you could just tell like how much we wanted each one of those games, and just the sheer emotion that we all had. I think that just kind of pushed us to just keep going throughout those playoff games.
As you talked about it a little bit at halftime, but it had to be even more when you get back into the locker room after the game.
Mm-hmm.
Just that feeling of accomplishment, camaraderie, joy.
Yeah.
For high school football, especially in this area, is there anything that matches that emotion?
I don't know. I don't think so. No, because it's just you're with these guys 8 hours in the day. You're with them through school. You go to the football field, you're with them another 2-3 hours, whatever it is. And then on top of that, you're with them on the Thursday nights, the Tuesday nights lineman dinner, the Tuesday night DB dinner that we had, the Thursday night team dinner, or when we're in the playoff, the Friday night team dinner. And just the sheer amount of time that we spent with everybody, and just I think everybody on that team would, if you called one guy up, they'd be there for you no matter what. And I think that's just the family that we kind of built around. and just the sheer emotion that you were playing for your family out there. It was just one of the proudest that moments I think we've ever had as a team. And just me personally, it was just so much fun. So
what did that mean for Pleasant Plains to get that win and go to state?
Well, coming off the playoff run, because we had only won, I think it was one playoff game before that whole run that we had. It was a big deal. Like, nobody really thought Plains football was really anything. I know we had made a shirt in like seventh grade, and we had, or maybe it was eighth grade, I'm not really sure, but we had from our JFL team, it was like basically saying that we were going to go to state like junior or senior year, whatever it was. I think that people thought about it and nobody really believed us. And just for the town and everybody, I think it really was just really just a big like come together party. Like, we haven't really had that in football really ever, I don't think, for Pleasant Plains. I mean, I don't really remember going out there for the playoff game that they had won. I think that might have been in sixth grade or something, I'm not really sure, but I'm sure they could have said the same thing I'm saying right now. But just for us to build momentum, kind of get the hype around us, everybody's coming out, fans are coming out, people that probably don't even know Plains are out there, and it was just, I think it was just a big stepping stone in that, in the football kind of area at Plains.
Was it during this run or your junior season that you realized that, okay, I mean, I can go play at that next level and that's what my goal is?
Yeah, so it was kind of like that, it was kind of in between that sophomore to junior year. So like sophomore year, I was still lean, I was still kind of like skinny kind of guy. And I wasn't really that big throughout high school, weight-wise.
Weren't you really dunking the ball?
Yeah, I know, I know. But I kind of had to make the decision of if I wanted to do track in college or if I wanted to do football. Because if I wanted to do track, I'd just have to kind of not really kind of just gain the weight and muscle and
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. But I made that decision I wanted to do football going into my junior season, so that's kind of where I gained a little bit of better weight, I think that was, I think it was a great decision that I made. So
yeah, looking back at it now,
yeah,
Northern's happy with it, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's just give a little recap of the last few years at Northern and kind of where mm-hmm. you're at and what how it's gone for you.
Yeah, so obviously, if you know me, I walked on there freshman year. My first day was the first day of fall camp. I didn't go through the summer like a lot of my teammates did, like of my class. I got there first day of fall camp, really stressful, because they gave you like, you got there 30 minutes to move in, you're at the football facility, you're doing whatever, and you're kind of just thrown into the deep end and hopefully you can swim.
Yeah.
I think that's really kind of made me mature, just mentally, because there's times there, like, if you ask any college athlete, they're like, or college football player, they're like, through fall camp at one point in your freshman year, like, is this really for me?
Yeah.
But so I was able to work my way up kind of the special teams depth chart my freshman year there. I played in four games, kept my red shirt. Halfway through the season, Coach Hammack told me and one of my really good friends, who's also my roommate now, that he was going to put us on full scholarship coming the next fall, which was really exciting just because the amount of work that me and him had put in.
I got to stop you there.
Yeah.
Because I got to go deeper into that.
Yeah.
Besides, it's really exciting. I mean, that's something that you obviously dreamed about, you mm-hmm. worked for.
Yeah.
But that moment, I mean, that's what every kid dreams of. That's mm-hmm. That's what you were working
yeah.
for. When he says that, it's yeah. got to just be almost surreal.
Yeah. It was really crazy because it's actually a really funny story. But me and Nick, my roommate, we were walking out to the field, and he kind of just pulled us aside, and he's like, "You guys are." It was kind of at the time where some of our classmates were like leaving because they just didn't really want to do it anymore, and it was like he pulled us to the side and he kind of told us, he was like jokingly, he's like, "You guys are gonna stay, right?" And we're like, "Yeah, we're gonna stay, like we don't have anywhere else to go." but he then was like, "Okay, good, because you guys got 2 scholarships in the fall." And we were just like, we just didn't know what to say. We were kind of just like, well, we were like in the mindset of like, we're gonna go out to practice, and he told us that, and we're like, okay. And his brother at the time was coaching there, and his brother was like, "Well, aren't you gonna say thanks?" And we were like, "Thanks, coach. Like, thank you so much," and all that stuff. But kind of after practice and everything, we kind of went back up to him. We kind of just thanked him and everything for it. So it was really cool.
How proud did that make you, and how proud was your family of that moment?
I didn't tell my mom right away. So I wanted to tell her at Thanksgiving, because it was almost to Thanksgiving time.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of save it as a surprise. But it was kind of funny, because after a game, it was like, I think it was after the home game that we had, normally after the game, we come and sit in like this lobby that we have, and we'll talk to the coaches, we'll have family come talk to the coaches and all that kind of stuff. And my coach came up to me, he's like, "Did you tell her the news yet?" And my mom was standing right there, and she looked at me, she's like, "What news?" I was like, "Come on, coach." And he's like, "The news that he's on scholarship." And she's like, "No, I didn't hear that." And he looked at me, he's like, "Oh man, did I just ruin that for you?" And I was like, "Oh, no, it's okay." I mean, she was gonna find out pretty soon anyway. So she was pretty happy, my mom was. I was really happy as well. Just to be able to kind of not have her stress over the payments of kind of like the loans and stuff of college is kind of just, it's surreal. So she was really happy for me, and I was really happy. So
there's a lot of kids coming out of high school or even in college that will bet on themselves and say, "Hey, I'm gonna walk on, like, I can do this, I can do it myself." You don't hear a lot of the stories of it doesn't work out,
because
I mean that's the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when it does work for you, it almost makes you work even harder.
Yeah. So there's a, I mean, I think of it as kind of like, I still want to have the mindset of like, I'm not on scholarship. And that's the same way with Nick. So I'm kind of paired up with a pretty good group of guys, in that we kind of just go out and work pretty hard no matter what we're doing. We kind of have the mindset of like, you kind of have to have that mindset of like, hey, we're not on scholarship. We're still trying to earn something, because once you kind of get the mindset of like, I can relax now, that's when it might all go away. Yeah. So.
Well, then COVID hits.
Yeah.
So how crazy was this last year, and kind of, you know, what are you setting as your goals for moving forward?
Oh, it was really weird. We had, unlike most of your like Power Five schools who had like a full kind of, not full season in which they played out of conference games, but like their full, I don't know how many, what they played, like 10, 12,
yeah,
whatever it was.
Yeah.
We played 6. We had what it felt like was like 2 to 3 month fall camp. We just kept preparing, just kind of figuring out, are we going to play or not? Kind of stressful for all of us, because we were like, what? We were kind of getting to the point where it was like, we wanted answers. We wanted to know if we were playing or not, or like, why are we pushing ourselves to the brink of like, I don't like all this, just physically, if we're just not gonna play. Then we kind of got the news, and I think that's where we all locked back in. Unfortunately, season didn't really go the way us or coaches wanted it to go, but we are bringing Like, I think we're bringing almost everybody back. So it's really cool. I was able to play all six games. I played mostly special teams, then I played a little bit at linebacker. But right after the season, they told me that I'm going to go back to tight end. So back at tight end again, getting this spring kind of to lead back into it. Got a lot of good reps in spring ball. I like where I'm at position-wise. I like my coach. I love everything that I'm doing right now. It's real fun. Some goals that I have. I want to get on the field. I think that's really everybody's goal. But I think I'm in the position where I could get some decent playing time and be a decent piece in our offense this year. And I just kind of got to keep working, putting my head down.
Yeah.
Still with the mindset. So.
How cool is it to see when people watch you on ESPN?
Oh, it's really cool because I'll get on my phone after the game or something, and I'll see a couple pictures from, I think Hope's a pretty big fan of mine.
She's pretty good at it.
Yeah. She'll be posting on Facebook, she'll be posting on Twitter, like what's going on and everything. So and then getting some texts from family, like, hey, we saw you and everything. Even though I haven't really been a big piece of anything that we've been doing yet, I've just kind of been the four core special teams guy. It's really cool to see all the people that still kind of root for me and everything. Not still root for me, but continue to root for me, even though I don't really get on the field as much. And I think it'll just be even sweeter to the point when I start getting that playing time.
That was Tristan Tavis for Live Rewind. Thanks for listening.